This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Thought I'd sit here and curse the world instead.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 1, The Kiss. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Their throbbing biological urges.
Mwah! Okay, Dave, you do not understand how horny this episode is. Uh-huh. I could not believe while I was making the visual aids how many GIFs are just Joey staring at Dawson's mouth. Like, it's truly over the top. Anyway, hi, Sarah.
I mean, the lip mics, too. Woofa.
Before we get to that, we want to tell you what is going on in the world of this podcast, starting with our next Patreon bonus episode. Again with this, episode 197 is dropping June 28th. It's going to be Let's Watch Ian Bailey on 30 Rock, specifically in season 5, episode 15. It's never too late for now. It's on Hulu. It's also on Peacock. You can also buy it at the usual places, but we'll link the Hulu version in the show notes.
And this Thursday, our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up will be getting the June edition of Again With Them. In case you have recently arrived, that is our monthly recap / bemoaning of Tori and Jenny's 90210 OMG podcast. Do not listen to it yourselves. We will do it. That is what the money is for. And that money is $5. We hope you'll join us. We have a time.
We do have a time. This is we're recording this episode at the point in the month where I have not actually listened to any of OMG episodes yet, but the most recent one that dropped in our timeline, the Instagram video that went up is like they do little, you know, cuts for their Zoom calls with a little like, you know, insets of all of their faces, and Tori and Jenny look normal, and Amy is recording from like 400 feet under the Earth's crust, like I don't know when it is where she is, but it is so dark in this video. It's very strange. And if you don't know who Amy is, kick up that pledge to $5 or more and you'll hear all about her in excruciating detail.
Yeah, she's got to be somewhere in California. We know that.
We do know that. We are also going to be taking next week off from the main podcast for Canada's and America's national holidays. So in place of our regular episode, we will be bringing two Patreon bonus episodes out from behind the paywall in honor of Canada Day, since these are going to be dropping July 1st. You are going to hear bonus episode 149, Let's Watch Jason Priestley in the series finale of Fox's Fantasy Island. And as coincidence would have it, the very next bonus episode, episode 150, Let's Watch Kathleen Robertson in Maniac Mansion, celebrating Canada with two of its favorite children.
Why not? Now, if you already are one of our Patreon supporters at any level, you will get your Friday bonus episode as usual that week. That is episode 198. It drops July 5th, my anniversary.
Hey.
That has nothing to do with the topic selection, which is John Wesley Shipp in an episode of The Outer Limits. That's season 7, episode 18. It's called Lion's Den. He plays both the lion and the den and a question mark. We will link that in the show notes as well, but you can find it on Fubo, obviously.
One of the many streaming platforms where when you say it, people think you're doing a bit. Like, what's a Fubo?
Mm-hmm.
earlier today, someone was asking about a show called The Green Veil, and I was like, it's on a platform called The Network, so it is not possible to know whether it is a good show or not. No one at The Network, cared to give it a name that anyone would remember or be able to find on SEO. Yeah. We will be back to our regular business on Monday, July 8th. That's when you will hear us talking about Dawson's Creek, Season 2, Episode 2. So to keep up with all of our doings, join us on Patreon. It's the best way. Go to againwiththispodcast.com/club to get all of the bonus episodes, all of the archives, ad-free episodes of the main show, access to our Discord server, so very much more. We would love to see you there. So againwiththispodcast.com/club. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of getting it or not, let us start this episode with our C-plot. Mitch talks to a Devore. Can't finish the word. Don't care.
Yeah.
We open on the elder Learys as Mitch rolls over in bed to see Gale waiting for him with sexy intentions. She climbs on top of him. He kisses back as she says he can try to resist, but that will just make the conquest sweeter. That doesn't sound like seeking enthusiastic consent, Gale. Not cool.
No. No.
I mean, none of this is cool, but especially not that. Mitch definitely does not give enthusiastic consent, saying he has a meeting to shower for. Oh, Mitch and his meetings, LOL. And as Gale kisses down his torso, he physically moves her off him, and she just falls back in sexual frustration. When we see them next, Mitch is coming out to meet Gale and her disastrous mop of humidity hair. We were discussing this at length in our Slack this morning. The hair in this episode is truly like assaulted by the Wilmington, North Carolina climate. It's cruel.
Yeah. I mean, they have a couple of problems. I will say the silver lining here is that at least you have a similar humidity problem in actual Cape Cod. So okay. It kind of tracks.
Mm.
But, oh, man, the Wilmington of it all, and then we picked up minutes after the last episode ended, and
yeah.
Everybody got fucking haircuts and dye jobs over the break of it all is
yes.
really punishing the mm-hmm. entire cast in ways large and small.
Okay, the hair is one thing, and we're going to get into it. We get to the A-plot. But the other problem is, where we left off in season one, it was like wintertime, and now mm-hmm. in this episode, which is one day later, everyone's in like mm-hmm. spaghetti straps and shorts.
Yeah.
Like crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Gale and her awful hair are disgorging excuses to Mitch for her lateness. He, however, already heard about the traffic jam she got caught in on the radio, so she's fine. He doesn't suspect anything, but he does have to get to an appointment that has arisen suddenly, so bye. And then we see that appointment with a certain Mr. Drake, who is a lawyer specializing in divorce. And the next night back home, Gale tells Mitch she never thought she'd have to call him a liar, which takes one to know one. Sorry, but he doesn't know what she's talking about. She reminds him that he has told her everything's fine between them and that her worst fears are unfounded, but she found the lawyer's business card and assumes that Mitch has been telling Mr. Drake something different. Mitch says it was one meeting. He wanted to know what his options were. Gale says his options are that he can decide to give her another chance or he can go back to Mr. Drake. Write him a big check and make their marriage another statistic, which, like, it's a statistic either way, but she asks if either sounds appealing. Mitch says yes. He just doesn't know which yet, which, what? So no?
Done?
Moving on, thank God. To our B-plot, enter Andy McPhee. When Pacey hears about Dawson and Joey progressing their relationship, which we'll get to in the A-plot, he decides he can change into a man about town, too, and even pursue Christy Livingstone, a senior cheerleader. In fact, he tells the stylist giving him a trim that he wants a new look and tells her to frost his tips. It's 1998. This was marginally less ill-advised at the time, but still, it's a big move.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just as ill-advised, but people just went ahead with it anyway, especially. Mm-hmm. Adolescent and post-adolescent boys, I feel like everyone had that mushroom of bleach
mm-hmm.
happening.
Yes. But I had this in my notes and I was gratified when you confirmed it when you sent me your visual aids. It kind of suits him. It kind of does.
Yeah. I mean, it was in my mind so bad mm-hmm. in my memory that it yeah. was like, oh, this is fine. But it's better than that awful Caesar, like the yeah. tousled blondish situation mm-hmm. is an improvement net for him anyway. Yeah.
Well, we may have some differing views on this. We'll find out. So after his salon visit, Pacey hops into the cruiser he has, quote, borrowed, unquote, and is smoothing it down when Christy walks past behind him. She's played by Allie Larder, who is about to be in Varsity Blues with James Vanderbeek the year after this. Pacey calls out to her, but when she doesn't hear him, he pulls out to follow, and another car immediately smashes into him, and the girl we will soon come to know as Andy McPhee, played by Meredith Monroe, starts panicking, mistaking Pacey for a cop, and he kind of smirks when he sees that she's young and cute, but then locks into pig mode as she babbles that she just got her license. She moved to town from Rhode Island. Pacey notes that she lives near the country club before lecturing her about the responsibility of driving and threatening to revoke her license on the spot. But when she begs for mercy, he says he'll let it slide. But he has his eye on her now, so if she causes any more trouble in town, Officer Pacey's coming after her. So then he's in the hall at school telling a couple of dudes about his run-in with Andy when she spots Officer Pacey and confronts him, saying that impersonating an officer is a felony and she should report him. And Pacey basically dares her to, since the sheriff is his dad. Andy says she's been having anxiety attacks to the point of medication since his stunt, which, like, you just went and got a prescription in the last 30 minutes, because that's when it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we'll find out that's not the case. So she spins out some more until Pacey reminds her that she caused the accident and whatever she's gone through is nothing compared to what his dad's going to do to him when he sees the damage, whereas her country club Saab is still in one piece. And then Christy passes them, saying hi to Andy and ignoring Pacey. He is suspicious about how they know each other. Andy says she made an effort to welcome a newcomer to town. Pacey guesses Christy just didn't recognize him. Clip two.
I just had my tips frosted.
You had your tips frosted?
Yeah.
Your tips are an attempt to win a certain someone?
Yeah, me too.
Hot tip. Christy Livingstone is a homo sapien. So perhaps you should try barking up a different tree.
And perhaps you should just stop barking altogether.
I mean, it's not bad as an exit line, so Pacey should probably be suspicious when Andy follows and offers to set up an introduction. I guess that's a spoiler, but is it really? No. So after school, Pacey lurks on the edge of cheerleading practice, watching Andy chatting with Christy until Andy comes over and tells him to go for it. And as he walks over, clip three.
Once was a girl named Christy. Thought of her nude makes me misty. A night on the town, we'll both go get down. By the end of the date, she'll have kissed me.
Interesting order of the program, given that you've had sexual intercourse with an adult lady. Not that we approve, but okay.
So Christy seems receptive enough when Pacey first approaches, so he asks her to dinner and she accepts, and that was so easy. Even Pacey is shocked, but he takes the yes and does not ask why. And somewhere in town that night, Pacey waits and waits and waits some more before finally Christy joins him. He was thinking they would have dinner, but Christy can't stay. Her boyfriend is waiting in the car to take her to celebrate their 5-week anniversary.
So high school.
Mm-hmm. Even poor Allie Larder cannot keep her hair looking cute in this humidity, as you will see in the visual aids. It is sticky.
Mm-hmm.
But she just had to stop on the way to her date to tell Pacey how brave he is, because Andy told Christy about his condition, and it's amazing how he lives a normal life, what with his heart stripe, which could start strangling his heart at any moment and kill him. Heart stripe.
Did you remember the heart stripe?
No.
Because I feel like this figured on the Dawson's Rap and Mighty Big TV boards, mm-hmm. just like as a runner for years, the yeah. heart stripe. I had completely forgotten about it. And then the minute Christy Livingstone, I presume, started waxing pitying, I was like, oh, fuck, it's the heart stripe.
Yeah.
So dumb. So dumb.
There's another completely made up medical condition in the very next episode. So, as runners go, it's not bad. It's pretty funny.
Hmm.
Andy said that Pacey didn't want any special treatment, which Christy really respects because she suffers from asthma and she would hate it if people treated her any differently because of it. And then off she goes back to her honking, yelling boyfriend. So Pacey then goes to the market and is looking at hair dye when Andy comes in and teases him about the machines he should be hooked up to. He asks what a heart stripe is, and she chirps that she made it up. She doesn't know Pacey at all, but if he thought for a second that Christy would dump her hot football star boyfriend for a sophomore with a heart stripe, he is seriously deluded. Pacey says Christy was a metaphor, because of course everything fucking is. Not that we understand of what. But dyeing his hair was a metaphor too. Apparently he can't change, and it's back to the old Pacey after all. Andy agrees that he should dye his hair back, but not with peroxide. He's not sure that he should trust the dye that she picks out for him, but she tells him he'll have to take the chance. And that's where we leave these two at first. As a meet cute, I like this more than I remember liking it. She's a good character.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She is very charming. I like how the show just did it and mm-hmm. got started on something for yep. Pacey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to be a little out of character for her to be this kind of Pacey-esque, actually,
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, but I could be wrong about that, too. But I totally agree. I liked this and her way more than I remembered.
Yeah. They have nice chemistry. They're good scene partners.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Finally, we have our A-plot. Joey and Dawson figure things out while Jen stands by, uncomfortably close. We open here exactly where we left off on Joey and Dawson making out next to the window in his bedroom. Even the same song is playing, some baloney about say goodnight, not goodbye. And when they come up for air, Joey breathlessly asks, "What was that?" Dawson thinks it was a kiss. Joey gasps in disbelief that he kissed her and is leaning back in when they both realize they don't know what happens now. Clip 4.
Maybe we could...
What?
Nothing.
No. You were going to say something. What were you going to say?
Nothing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say.
You were going to say we shouldn't have done that. And that's what you're thinking, right?
Actually, Dawson, I don't have a thought in my head right now. But apparently that's what you're thinking,
no,
so...
No, I...
Look, let's sleep on it. Not together. I mean, you in your bed and me in mine.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously. We'll sleep on it. I'll wake up and... So I'll be a dream.
Like it never happened?
Is that what you want?
Is that what you want? Okay, poof. Didn't happen, Dawson. See you later.
Joey. Don't even think of climbing through that window.
God, if you have a drinking game, even if it's just organized around our episodes and not the show's episodes, if you have anything in there about drinking every time Joey says Dawson's name at all, never mind unnecessarily, it was like 5 times just in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Just strike that out of your game rules. You're going to end up in the hospital. Oh, it's so annoying. It's so annoying. And I didn't remember how annoying she was in this mm-hmm. plot. Like, he has his own issues, but she is maddening. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about the hair and we're going to keep talking about it. Vanderbeek is one of the people who has had a haircut between seasons. And so he's in a wig in this scene, which you can see in the visual aids as they try to fill in some kind of ape drape that is no longer actually there. And it's not a good match.
No, no.
But then we get the opening credits. So we see Vanderbeek's hair is, I would say, a tiny bit better. Joshua Jackson, when it's dyed back brown, much better. Michelle Williams, I feel like, is where we differ, because I actually think this short hair is cute. In the credits.
Is good or bad?
No, I think it's cute. Hers is.
Oh, yeah. No, it's cute.
Okay.
It's cute. I'm just saying the attempts to hide it were...
Oh, God. Yeah.
Bad.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. I think at first, like in the first couple of episodes, it's more mumsy than we see it in the opening credits, where I think they give it another pass and like make it shorter and kind of like younger, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Katie Holmes is the only one whose hair is exactly the same. So then after those credits, Joey and Dawson wake up in their separate beds and Fastball wonders, was I out of my head? Was I out of my mind? But Joey and Dawson seem not to have any doubts. And later, Bessie and Joey arrive at the ice house, Bessie bitching about the truck, Joey sunnily telling her it's not a big deal. Bessie's also had a haircut. She is suspicious of Miss Permascal's good mood and quizzes her about it. Joey gives her nothing, but also can't stop smiling. And again, we already mentioned this, but Joey fully in spaghetti strap, tank top, short khaki shorts.
Mm-hmm.
It's summer. It's not after tourist season, which we were told it was in the beauty pageant episode, which happened like 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Over to, I assume, Betty's hair barn, where Dawson and Pacey are getting haircuts together and gabbing in the shampoo sinks, which is cute. And we cut back and forth between these two and Bessie and Joey doing a spoken word summer nights about the kiss. Bessie and Pacey both want to know if Dawson and Joey are going to have sex. Bessie wants to know if this kills France. Dawson tells Pacey he and Joey haven't discussed what their relationship is going to be now. Clip 5.
After years of gratuitous self-examination, you finally did it. You acted. I mean, I thought you and Joey were going to draw out this whole will they, won't they drama for at least another couple of years. Because, you know, Sam and Diane, they didn't get together for at least 4 seasons. And Mulder and Scully, they haven't even kissed. This really inspires me, man. If you and Joey can get past the whole romantic checkmate thing that you've been in for God knows how many years, anything is possible.
Except using the IMDb to look up when Sam and Diane got together, apparently.
Yeah, there's not
I mean,
the first...
I mean, that's be that guy, but come on.
Yes, not the last factual TV error in this episode. We'll get to it.
Mm-mm.
Then at school, Dawson finds Joey at her locker. They both stare at each other's mouths before trying to be normal. Dawson says he's good, but Joey thinks she may have made the biggest mistake of her life. She told the principal she's not going to France. Boo! Terrible decision! We hate you!
Yeah, awful. And Bessie would never allow it. Bessie would never allow it, in my opinion.
Mm-mm. No, I agree. Terrible. And I understand it's, you know, for relationship reasons, but also for TV reasons, but it, like, it does not make sense for her character to not go. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm.
But of course, Dawson is thrilled, and they throw their arms around each other, and clip 6.
So Joey Potter's taking on Cape Side for some guy.
Yeah, maybe if you're lucky, I'll introduce you to him sometime.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a very lucky guy.
That was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still hate it and him for her, but here we are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That was cute.
Mm-hmm.
With Dawson, you got to take it where you can get it, honestly.
No, it's true. If this is the normal we have to live with, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just by the way, Dawson and Pacey were getting haircuts before school. What time does this hair salon open like 6:30?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Joey asks what Dawson really thinks. He is ecstatic, psyched, aroused. Hormones aside, does he think they're making a big mistake? He thinks they're entering new boy-girl territory, but they can just concentrate on the simple stuff, like a date. She's not sure. Clip 7.
I don't know, Dawson. I was gonna watch TV tonight. I hear Luke Perry's back on 90210.
Not for another month, actually. This aired October 7th, 98. Luke Perry's first episode back in season 9 was November 18th, 98. Maybe she got a screener. But Dawson wants to take Joey to the last show before the Rialto closes Saturday night. And then Jen joins them with her hair up like we've never seen it, so her big chop does not coincide so closely with Dawson and Pacey's, but you can see it in the visual aids. It's not convincing as the same hair we just saw her with yesterday. Dawson and Joey ask how Jen is, and she awkwardly says that Gramps died last night. Dawson and Joey ask what they can do, but she says she's just going to go home, which you probably never should have come to school in the first place. Your grandpa died last night.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see her next, Jen is joining Grams in the sun porch. Grams is donating Gramps' old clothes to the church charity drive. Jen is appalled that she is clearing out his closet so soon, but Graham says people in the community can use them more than Gramps can. And Jen intensely says they haven't even buried him yet, and Grams isn't acting like a grieving widow, and Grams is not having it. Clip 8.
Let me tell you something, Jennifer. I loved your grandfather. From our very first date through 43 years of marriage, and when he had his stroke, I sat by his bedside, and for months, all I did was pray for his recovery. But when his condition worsened, do you know what I prayed for? Not for his recovery. For his release. I watched him waste away in that bed for almost 2 years. So, whether I clean out his closet today or not, he's gone. He's been gone.
Jen, when you've been married for decades, you can have an opinion. Until then, shut the fuck up. Leave your grandma alone.
Yeah. Or just start weeping. This is like a solid episode of Michelle Williams' cry voice, and yeah, she's not in control of her instrument, I would not say.
Agree.
Given, or just like compared to future endeavors, and it's just a lot and not terribly sympathetic, but mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, once again, Grams bringing it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary, but thank God she does.
Yeah, this is, I mean, spoiler, I guess, this is the start of Jen's downward curlicue.
Yes.
So this is part of it, I guess, of her being like a real brat and a shithead to Grams, mm-hmm. like more so. I also am just going to say I don't love hearing how long Grams was married, because she's a real old lady and she's only been married 16 years longer than me, and I don't care for it. I feel attacked. Akko Taco. Yeah. Guys, that's the kind of thing you're missing if you're not at the $5 level and up in Patreon. That's a clip from Again With Them. Yeah. And I was quoting someone, just for the record.
Iconic clips such as these.
Oh, man. Okay.
All available to you at the $5 level.
Again, with this podcast.com/club. Later on, Dawson brings over a casserole from Gale. Jen notices how spiffy he looks, and he says where he's going. Jen says Grams is also going to the show, and Dawson guesses Jen wasn't up for it. She's going to sit there and curse the world instead, and then casually asks, in air quotes, clip 9.
So are you going with Joey?
Yeah, who else?
So how did things work out between you guys? How are the two star-crossed lovers?
You know us, you know, Dawson and Joey. We'll always be Dawson and Joey. Whatever that means.
How about Dawson and Jen?
Honestly, I think you could use a friend right now. More than anything else. How about it?
I could like that.
Well, then find someone else. Because Dawson's a shitty friend.
He is a really shitty friend and is about to be even more of a shitty friend in this episode.
In this scene,
yeah,
even.
It's true.
But he's like, you know, enjoy the night. It's beautiful out. Like, you mm-hmm. just told her to touch grass, dickhead. Like, go on your date. Stop talking. You want to be a friend to us all? Shut up.
Yes, when he's like, it's a beautiful night. Like, yeah, it's shockingly beautiful for Massachusetts in almost Thanksgiving times, but fine.
Yeah, it gets dark at 3:30, but sure, it is, you know, today, beautiful here
yeah.
in Wilmington.
sit out on the swing with your bare legs. Yeah, we also at the in the scene, and you can see in the visual aids, she gives him a hug, and you sort of forget she's teeny tiny, and he's like actually pretty tall for an actor. Like, she has to get up on her absolute tippy toes to just like even reach her arms up. It's cute. So then Bessie joins a mopey Joey on her dock. Doesn't it seem weird to Bessie to think of Joey and Dawson on a date? Bessie asks whether it was weird when they kissed. Joey says that felt right, but they haven't kissed since yesterday, which that's wrong. This is Saturday. They were at school the day after, so it's been 2 days. Bessie says the second kiss is actually tougher than the first. Joey says they kissed a bunch the first night, but Bessie thinks of them all as one kiss event, I guess. And says, the first kiss is all passion. The second is rational after you've had time to worry and overanalyze. The second kiss is about something more. It'll be real and meaningful. And she side hugs Joey and it's sweet. They're sweet. And then Dawson is speedboating over to pick up Joey while she decides on her hair, lipstick, and because it's 1998, choker. And goddamn, if they don't kind of get me with their walk toward each other, like, I am not a Vanderbeek guy, even less so a Dawson guy, but he looks foxy. Like, the look that he gives her is, like, it looks real. Like, it looks like they're going on a date and they are really into each other. Like, those first moments of a relationship, the best. It's cute.
Yeah. We were definitely too mean to, like, everyone the first time around. Mistakes were made. We apologize. He has his moments of just, like, that smug condescension that we really don't like in this episode. But he also has moments of sincere, like, excitement and wondering what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And I, like, we skipped this, but in the hair barn scene, he's in the sink getting a shampoo. His hair is off his forehead. And it's like, why don't you just leave it like that? I mean, I know why. It's because he looks 24, which he was.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, okay. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
This did make sense to us at the time.
Yeah. So it's very similar to Jason Priestley as Brandon in so many ways, where it's like, this character turns into a shithead quicker than you remember, but you also can't deny, like, this is a teen idol. Like, he got cast for a reason. He's cute.
Yeah. In spite of the fact that he is wearing 17 pounds of fabric just from the waist down and a vest, but this is how he lived.
It's true. So he stops on his walk to Joey to pick a yellow daisy for her, saying he considered chocolates, diamonds, convertibles, but decided on foliage, which surely you know the word flora. Joey stands close and stares at his mouth, and he's like, should we go? And she's like, totally. But before they get going, clip 10.
I'm really glad we already bypassed the end of the evening while she kissed me drama. So it should be pretty much smooth sailing from here on out.
Yeah. Now you have to endure the agony of, well, I've already kissed her, so should we just check into a motel room and go at it like porn stars' anxiety?
I think I can handle that.
Good, because, I know a good hotel.
How about we start with something very simple. Something that goes beyond this month's penthouse farm.
And what would that be, Dawson?
I would really like to hold your hand.
Okay.
So 90s, that music cue. Love it.
The sooner they drop this whole Joey talking too much about sex thing, the better. Like, I'm fine with her being horny in a normal way, but, like, we all know you're a virgin. Just shut up about it. It's not that funny. Anyway, then we're at the theater where we see Graham's alone waiting for the show to start. Dawson can't believe they're tearing this place down, but it does mean all their movie viewing will be restricted to his bedroom. And they joke about what a drag that'll be. And then Joey fucking stares at his mouth some more while he continues missing his cue. She takes his hand and he smiles at her weirdly. And fittingly, we see the Rialto is screening the Last Picture Show.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Oh, wait, I get it.
Someone explain it to us in the comments. When we check back in with them, Jen is crashing the date, telling Dawson she decided to take his advice and get out of the house. And Dawson turns the other way to tell Joey he doesn't know what she's talking about. Obviously, this is weird and Jen should not have done it. But since she has and Joey and Dawson are her friends and they both know her grandpa just died, they could be nicer to her and just have their first datiness after they walk her home or next time, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Also, you're at a movie. Like, I'm not really sure what you thought was going to happen on the theaters last night when everyone in your tiny town is also there. Like, you're not going to go to third. Just let her sit there.
Seriously.
Like, I understand it's a teen drama, but geez.
Yeah. That is not what happens. However, Dawson pointedly observes that Grams is there so that Jen can say she prefers to sit with them and she thought they could all go to the ice house afterward. And Joey silently seethes so loud that Jen asks if she is not welcome, forcing Dawson to say, of course she is. But Jen decides she's not and takes off, and Dawson feels bad for a second before going after her. And Joey's face is like, of course, just as Sybil Shepherd on screen is like, nothing's ever the way it's supposed to be. Again, don't get it. Guys, someone who is good at movies, explain. When Dawson gets to the lobby, Jen remembers that their first date was in this theater and now they're tearing it down. Also, Joey was there, just saying. She was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're tearing it down. How's that for one of his metaphors? I don't know, man. Pretty obvious. Dawson tries to extricate himself from this situation, but clip 11.
The whole time that we were dating, were you really wishing that you were with Joey instead?
What? No.
It seems a little sad, really, that I was the girl whose sole purpose was to allow you to figure out who you were really in love with.
Please don't think of it like that. I mean, you and I had fun. We just...
No, we did, but I held you off. I pushed you away, and I basically ran you right out of my life in the midst of all that fun. So I guess it serves me right. I lost you.
You haven't lost me. I'm here. I want to be a part of your life. I want to be your
friend.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? Yeah. From being the girl next door to the object of your affection to the third wheel.
Fifth wheel. You're a fifth wheel.
Her grandpa just died. Give her a break.
So?
I know. Dawson, now in his second relationship ever, decides to be patronizing. Clip 12.
Give yourself some time. Let yourself heal. You and I will work all this out eventually.
Give yourself some time. I just want to be your friend. You have to say those things,
no,
Dawson.
I don't.
See through those comments.
I mean it.
Just do me one favor. All I ask is that you don't jump Joey right away.
I'm not going to jump anybody.
Because honestly, I just don't think that I can handle seeing the two of you together. I just think it'd send me to razor blades or something.
Don't even joke about that.
Why not? This whole thing is a joke. You, me, my whole life here is a joke.
Jen, come on. Don't.
I mean, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And again, Michelle Williams not doing great with it. It's weird because where this ends up going is that she has, like, the character has trauma.
Yeah.
And they end up kind of getting into that more, like, better than you think they're going to.
Yeah.
Tom Frost. But it's also like, oh my God, like, don't have her tell this to him.
Yes.
And she's lived here, like, for 10 minutes. I don't know. Like, the... On some level, the actor is getting at something that the writing bit off more than it could chew, and Michelle Williams is having to save them, so.
Yeah. So after Jen has left, Dawson returns to his seat, but Joey has left her daisy perfectly framed on what was her seat before she fucked off, and Dawson's reaction is to what? Rake his hands through his hair,
because that's his hair. Yeah. Uh-huh.
After the show, Grams calls out to Jen, who is pouting alone, and Jen is a bitch about it. Clip 13.
So what are you up to now? Gonna go find a little action now that you're a single woman?
Oh, Jennifer, don't say those things. Now, I know you're upset about your grandfather.
No, it's not just that. Look at me. I'm 16 years old. Look what I've become. My parents couldn't stand me, so they shipped me off to you. So here I am, living in this strange town without a friend of my name, and you know what the sad thing is actually I think that you may be the best friend I've got. I'm just not all that sure that you like me.
Oh, Jennifer, don't say that. Now, it's true we might bicker from time to time, but I love you. With your grandfather gone, you're all I have now. You're my whole world.
Well, if I'm all you got, then I pity you too.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
So hateful.
Save something for the rest of the season, writers. Shit.
Yes, this is for real.
Way too dark for episode one. Sorry.
Yes, it is. Sweet Grams, bless her, just gathers her little brat granddaughter into her arms. And Jen snaps out of it and asks if she liked the movie. Graham says it's not as good as the one Gramps brought her to on her first date. Not that she says what it was. She didn't come to watch the movie. She came to be with him. He was never as handsome as that night. Aw. Then Dawson eventually finds Joey moping somewhere in town and repeats that he does not have those feelings for Jen anymore. Joey sighs that it's okay and asks if he wants to know why she didn't go to France, because she really wanted to. Clip 14.
France, I could have started over. You know, I wouldn't be Joey the waitress, or Joey the daughter of a convict, or Joey half of the will-they-won't-they couple of the century.
To whom?
Yeah. This is the second reference that implies, much like the Brandon song from The Senior Breakfast at 90210, yes, that like, even though no one cares about Pacey, and in fact, they're literally about to tar and feather him and run him out of town. Meanwhile, everyone's sitting around speculating about Dawson and Joey. Like, what?
Yeah.
No one knows who you are. You're sophomores. No one's paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We keep saying, you're not popular. Like, you are only the center of the show, not the world of the show. It doesn't work both ways.
Right.
But whatever. She goes on. Clip 15.
I didn't go to France because it just seemed like the easy way out, you know? The easiest escape from my life, which, in spite of a few highlights, is pretty pathetic. But I didn't want to take that easy way out, Dawson. It just seemed like sticking around here would only make me stronger. And there was you too. Dawson Leary. I finally got a clue. But I have to tell you, Dawson, as complicated as our friendship was, it doesn't even compare to how complicated whatever you and I have here is bound to be.
What you and I have may never be simple. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be scorching.
You're not. You're not. The complexity is not the problem. It's that her chemistry with Joshua Jackson is so much better. Spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have these little high school-y things in there that you're like, oh, they do remember what it's like to be a teenager, like the 5-week anniversary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Very high school.
Mm-hmm.
This is not how teenagers presented with the option of traveling abroad, which they could put on their college transcripts,
yes,
and puts them in line for better financial aid. This is not how prospective college students and their families think about these decisions. This is not how 16-year-olds think about anything.
Mm-mm.
Like, oh, that was the easy way out. This is not how teenagers think about their lives.
Also, the whole thing of like, just because we've known each other all our lives doesn't mean we're not going to be scorching. Like, it definitely does. Like, a lot of the mystery is already gone because you've been sleeping in the same bed for your whole life.
Yeah. And I assume he's never gotten a boner that you've woken up with it digging into your kidney, which is a pretty good sign that scorching is off the table.
Yeah. Dawson adds that they can have a little Paris right there in Capeside, doing a bit about its many points of interest and architectural wonders and, you know, French fries, French toast, French doors. And on the swings, she leans in for the second kiss, and finally Dawson catches on and kisses back. When they've parted, Joey repeats what Bessie said about the second kiss being the rational one. Dawson says he found out what they're replacing the Rialto with, another movie theater with bigger seats, screen, sound, etc. Joey doesn't know why they have to change something that already works. Spoken like someone who's never had stadium seating in a movie before, just saying. But Dawson thinks it might work even better. Clip 16.
It's going to be so simple, Joe. You know, all this talk about a second kiss.
Yeah.
It's kind of put me in the mood for a third.
Me too.
It's going to be simple.
All right, fine. That's it. For now, not forever. Yeah. Let's close it up by name error of episode MVP. Grams.
Andy.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Grams shuts Jen up, not for the last time. And she's going to have to keep doing it. Spoiler.
Yep. There's not going to be nearly enough slapping involved, but we work with what we have.
We do. But Andy is also a good choice. A very strong entrance into the show. Least valuable player. Joey should have gone to France.
Yeah. Jen, stay home from school.
Mm-hmm.
Drink some of Grams's cooking sherry and stop trying to fix what you think is going wrong with your life, and let the hair just be off screen until everybody's ready. How about that?
Yes.
Next time on Again With This, Dawson finds out what Joey really thinks of his feelings. Pacey realizes Dawson doesn't think about him at all. Jen gets her drink on thanks to Abby Morgan, and Andy's brother Jack gets a job at the Ice House. Our visual aids will really do a job on your stomach lining, so get ready to shred at againwiththispodcast.com. And that's where you can call or text us anytime, 210-767-2237. We welcome your questions, your comments, your frosted tip memories. We are here for all of it. I am fifth wheel Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm rolling along on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Tip Froster Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, pities you too. Talk to you next time.
I want to be your boy adventure.
No.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.